Good day, everybody. I'm David Irvin, and I want to welcome you to the Leaders Navigator podcast. As you know, I'm a leadership development specialist and a best-selling author, and the premise of this podcast is simple. We will provide you with insights for living and leading the authentic way so that you'll be better equipped to amplify your impact as a difference maker in any area in your life. We'll cover a variety of topics related to authenticity and what it means to bring humanity into the world. What's uniquely special is that I'm doing this podcast together with my daughter, Haley, and we are very excited about this opportunity to work jointly on a project that we are both so passionate about. Welcome, Haley. So tonight we have a very special pair of guests, and these are very dear friends of mine. I'm a board chair of an organization that serves first responders and military and their families who have experienced PTSD and psychological injury in their work. And I, rather than me talk about it, I'm going to introduce you to two very special friends of mine. And I think what we want to say is that this is the authentic journey, and you're going to hear an authentic story tonight about the birth of this organization and the tremendous work that they do. It's our premise here that the authentic journey, we're born as a seed of possibility, and that we grow up in this world that tells us how we should be. And that journey to finding our destiny, to finding the work that we're meant to do in life, that we're called to do, that work of finding that is not a linear, straight process. It's not a formula that you can give to people. It's an up and down journey. It's through the valleys and peaks of life. And you're going to hear a beautiful story, a human story, of the birth of this organization, where these two individuals, two leaders that I have such respect for, have found their authentic path. So Paul Wegman, a retired police detective and co-founder of Wayfinders Wellness Society and the recipient of the Western Legacy Award for Innovation. And with him is Stephanie D, the executive director and co-facilitator with Paul in the Wayfinders Equine Wellness Workshop, and who lives with PTSD herself. So on that note, welcome Paul and Steph to our podcast.
Hello, thanks for having us today.
Thanks for having us. I just want to say, Paul's actually the executive director and I'm the executive administrator.
Did I mess that up?
That's all right. There's a lot of executives in there. You got to get them all straight.
Well, the one thing we talk about in these episodes is being human and exactly. Resist the propensity in our world to be having everything done perfectly. So we're just going to let this thing unfold, and I'm excited to be to have you all meet each other and for us to share and hear this story. So maybe just start, Paul and Steph, by just sharing with us a little bit about what Wayfinders is, what you offer, what you do, and just tell us a little bit about what you bring to the world.
Sounds good. Well, maybe I'll let Steph talk a little bit about what Wayfinders is, and I'll tell you a little bit about how we founded Wayfinders and how that kind of came to be.
Thanks for putting me on the spot. I'm going to change my name to Jackie on the spot. So Wayfinders is a place of wellness that is led by peers with lived experience helping peers. So there's no therapy involved. We don't do therapy. We will help people who are struggling, who reach out to us, find trusted their avenues of therapy, different avenues of therapy that they can go to, but we leave that to them. Because we're not therapy led, we don't refer anyone, we defer them. When they're ready to take that next step in their journey and make that call, then we leave it up to them, or we can help them with an introduction. And that is great, because when people are going through the different phases of mental health injury, like PTSD, you go through acute phase, you go into your, I call it remission as opposed to recovery, because anyone who knows anything about PTSD knows it might get significantly better, but there's always the opportunity that something could potentially re-trigger a person and send them a few steps backwards too. So it's an ongoing journey that, you know, lasts, and you need a strong support system, and not just the support system for yourself, but also for your family, because when you're injured, your family goes through your injury and the stages of your injury and recovery with you and the healing journey. But there's not often, it's hard enough to find sufficient resources for responders and military. Although I will say the military does have more options available to them than first responders do at this point in time. But there's even less for the family members to support the spouses, the children as well. And so it's our focus is not just on the individual, it's also providing resources and support through in-person workshops at the ranch where we're located on the edge of Cochrane in Alberta, as well as through peer support resources, both online and in person as well too, which we run with our partners from our Alberta Recoil, John Senior and Heather Vandeveer and Larissa. So with that, for our in-person workshops, we offer everything from, it's all nature-based and Indigenous land-based practices as well. So we do ceremony and sweats and Indigenous teachings with Chief Lee Crowchild for that part. We have a teepee on site as well, where we hold special ceremonies for our responders, such as the Warrior Spirit Strengthening Ceremony. And in that ceremony, they focus on things as opposed to focusing on the trauma that caused the injury, they focus on the positive impacts that they had through their career and recognize that, because often when you're injured, you focus on the injury because that's what therapy is about. And so when you're at Wayfinders participating in one of our workshops, whether it's equine wellness or drumming circles or coming to help with the community garden or our beekeeping healing hives program or our music workshop, where you can come and pick up a guitar, pick up a tambourine or some maracas, or sing if you want to sing, or our art wellness workshop, you know, yoga and meditation. There's so many things that we offer on site. We are appointment only facility because we are on a working cattle ranch as well, but we have a beautiful 4-acre section in the corner of that cattle ranch along the Jumping Pound Creek. So it's a very peaceful and serene spot where there's no interruptions when you're there taking part. And it's just a place to come and focus on yourself, but from the perspective of getting balanced again for you and your family. So whether you're there yourself, or you're there with your spouse or your kids, it's a time for each of you individually, though you're there together, to focus on yourselves and get rebalanced again. And that's why we operate consistently throughout the year, as opposed to being a retreat that happens for 2 or 3 days once or twice a year. We want these to be tools that people can attend regularly if they find one that they really like, and with consistency, and that they can continue to, you know, re-engage with those tools that they're learning from the workshops and continue to utilize them, because they're all ones that are applicable and usable in their everyday life as a family, as well as in their interactions with society. So they're very, very helpful. They help to build trust.
It's so different than the model of, you know, we can send people off to a retreat for 2 or 3 days and then we abandon them and then they go back to their life. And this is an ongoing community of support. Yes. And I love how you really are focused on the whole family, because if you're a first responder and you've been injured psychologically or even physically, but certainly psychologically in this case, it doesn't just injure the person, you injure the whole family system.
To a certain degree, yes, it's true. There are things that many deal with, like secondary trauma as a result of the direct injury. There can also at times be things like generational trauma that impact directly the injured uniformed service member. You know, that can also have an impact on them, but also can also impact the family members too. So as we know, generational trauma, you know, it can last up to 3 generations. So, you know, and that's where those steps, the more awareness you have, the more capable you are of taking the steps to end those cycles. So, but it takes a whole unit. It really does. It takes a community. It takes a team. It takes your battle buddies, you know, to all participate in this and remove the stigma and the judgment and to really come forward and say, you know, it's okay to not be okay. And we've got your back. We do fully acknowledge there is definitely a time and a place and a need for the clinical aspect of therapy as well. You know, sometimes there are medications that are needed to get people through those initial bad spots when they're, especially when they're first going through the acute stages of this kind of an injury. And that's okay too. I mean, there, clinicians are such an important piece of recovery. The part that we are really fighting for is for clinicians to also recognize the importance of looking at the whole person, not just the mental aspect that needs to be fixed, but the whole person has to be worked on. And that's where what we're doing comes in and plays such an important role. And the fact that we're non-therapy led also takes away from the pressures of thinking, oh God, now I got to deal with another therapist when I go somewhere. No, you're there to just focus on yourself. So we have a do no harm policy as well, which means when you're there, you don't talk about the details of your trauma. We don't talk about news, politics, or religion, with the exception of if you're in our faith-based peer support group. But otherwise, we don't talk about those things because we know that they typically can be triggering subject matter very easily. So as we all know, anyone can get heated about those things. But yeah, so I think I've
talked
long enough.
Can you speak to some of the impact? Have you got just an example of some of the impact that you've made?
Well, we've got personal accolades, really. We've had one member tell us, that 2 hours of a peer support session has been more productive than 4 years of therapy with a therapist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have members all across Canada because we are so effective in engaging on a multi-pronged approach. We have peer support, which is online and in person. We have workshops that are in person. We've also been able to utilize webinars and do some of our workshops online as well. So we're reaching all across Canada. But we've had, you know, just last week, somebody called me and spoke with gratitude and said, I wanted to call and be gracious and just thank you for all the work that you and your team are doing at Wayfinders. It's changed my life and has led me into a path of wellness. And so we hear that a lot. We try to deliver that message to our board because we have a board of directors that stands behind us and helps us to facilitate our operations. You know, we just want to make sure that we're telling those stories that we're having our bucket filled by people telling us that the impact of the work that we're doing is having a significant impact. Plus we're tracking our numbers and our growth. And our numbers that we're showing for repeat customers and for repeat attendance is really showing that we're having an impact in the community and being able to build a community of those, you know, learning the tips and tricks of living in wellness.
And I just want to add to that too. It's really important for people to also understand, because we're peer led, yes, we may have one or two facilitators who might be civilians, but for the majority, we literally only have one actually who's a civilian currently. But for the majority, our facilitators are comprised of uniformed service members who are in recovery and providing these services with lived experience. And then the rest of our facilitators, for the most part, are the spouses or family members of injured members. And so they all truly do have an understanding and a level of empathy for what people are going through and where they may be at the different stages of their healing process. And so it does help to better provide that safe space for people where they know that they're going to be understood when they come there and there is going to be no judgment, because we all live with it. I mean, I myself have PTSD as well. From my own traumas. So for me, it was really important, especially having a family that also has trauma injury in it too, and a partner who is injured, you know, just to know that we're providing these services to people. And we keep the sizes of each attendance for workshops intentionally small when they're in person, because we know that things like anxiety, in crowds can be an issue for some. And so it's a really important thing as well for people to understand, is when you provide the space for the needs, people will start to come. So
it must be very strengthening to have peer helping peer, where people have lived the experience and know what it's like, not know necessarily that person's experience, but just walk in their boots.
It is. And the facilitators also, just so the listeners know, the facilitators are encouraged to participate in the workshops they don't teach, to make sure that their mental health and wellness is also maintained through participation as well too.
So I am very interested in how this whole thing came to be. You must feel called to do this work. This is not a job for you folks. This is something that you feel deeply called about. How did that come to be? And as a founder, Paul, can you speak to that about your own story?
It absolutely. I mean, I had some history in building a nonprofit or a charity. I won a Western Legacy Award for innovation for applying, you know, some of the Western strategies, you know, of which we're doing, you know, with equine wellness and the indigenous practices at Wayfinders, you know, in my previous work with a charity, you know, so before my injury, I kind of knew how to put together an idea and bring people to the table to get behind a good idea and kind of, you know, put some subject and some teeth behind it, you know, and bring some philanthropy to the picture and really give a good cause an opportunity to develop into and nurture into something. So when I was injured, I was removed from my community of peers. And essentially, I had a lot of time to reflect on my own wellness and to navigate the system. So when I was injured, more in the acute phases, I was trying to reach out and trying to find the resources that were available for responders and military. And I found that there was very, very little. I kind of was kicked around back and forth between a lot of different organizations, between the organization I worked for and WCB, the insurance company that managed my claim. And, you know, I really struggled because, you know, I was previously, I've always been an advocate of my own health and motivated to get better. And so I really wanted some support. And I found that there were some other peers that lived in my community that were doing other things. I lived, was lucky enough to be raised with horses my entire life. And so I've had horses around me, professional training, trained, you know, working cow horses, reining horses, competitive, you know, working horses. And I had a couple of horses that were my family pets that I leaned on for my wellness. And so I would take responders out that I knew were struggling to spend time with horses or to go on rides and different adventures. And I knew the impact that had. And I saw others around me that were doing similar things, and they were role models in the area that they were doing their work. Teresa Coulter, who does our yoga and meditation, was also an artist, and she was covered up by CBC and all the work that she was doing to mentor her peers that are struggling with PTSD. And so I brought her together to the table in a steering committee. There was others that I brought together that were role models. And I just said, what is it that the system is lacking? We've got a professional system of the medical system with doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists that provide, you know, drugs and therapy. What else is it that is part of the roadmap to mental health that is keeping us back from transitioning back to being healthy and transitioning back to work? And so we found that it was the sense of community that we've been removed from was one of the big things lacking. So in order to be healthy, we need to be able to eat, sleep, socialize. And when you remove socializing from community, then you're really struggling. And that's where we found ourselves being removed. So in order to replace that, we found peer support without barriers, meaning that it wasn't blue on blue type of peer support, meaning you're not going to, you know, talk with other police officers, for example. And it's a very awkward position to be stuck in order to do that. So we found creating our own system was one of the best. And so we work with OSI CAN to provide peer support, which is at an arm's length. So there's no blue on blue.
It's for all uniform services.
And it's for all uniform services. And we find that that's a good equation to engage people in community. So essentially I tried to fill a gap in something that didn't exist. And that's a peer-led model of peer support with a variety of other resources to transition that person on their roadmap to mental health into recovery and into living in wellness, if that makes sense.
And being able to maintain it.
A fascinating journey to me.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, like, what a beautiful journey. Like, I was just wondering, like, when you do such important, wonderful work as, you know, givers and carers, like, how are you both able to, you know, avoid burnout? Like, you were doing such important work, but, you know, how are you able to, you know, also keep your own cups full and, you know, putting your own mask on first, proverbially, you know, to be able to, you know, keep well yourselves while you're doing such important work, such important heavy work as well for healing.
Well, I think a bit of an individual question. Mm-hmm. You have to have your own, and that's actually a very interesting thing, because on the roadmap to mental health and recovery, you have to be able to identify your passions and interests, or those things that you can develop to engage yourself in wellness. So I participate in and sign up for some of the workshops and participate as a participant. And on the flip side, the equine wellness workshops that we both teach, mm-hmm. Are something which bring us a lot of passion, and it fills my bucket to be able to share those experiences, mm-hmm. with others. So that's a real big piece for me when it comes to having purpose. Mm-hmm. I find purpose in doing work with Wayfinders as well.
That's, I mean, I could say it's different, but it really isn't. I mean, the work that we're doing is, whether we're participating for our own wellness and maintaining our own wellness, or, you know, because we support each other so much as well too, you know, in our partnership, it's in the work that we do, you know, we hear things like in our equine wellness workshop, you know, we have people, because it's equine wellness, not equine therapy. And I'll just clarify what that is. So it's a gentle introduction to working with horses, groundwork only. We don't do any riding or anything like that. It's working around them with horses, and it's learning to communicate non-verbally. So because horses cannot speak back to us, they're smart, they're incredibly smart, but it's not like with a dog where you say sit and, you know, you can train them to do those things. You can train horses to do a great many things. But the unique thing with horses is that they will meet you no matter where you're at. They're going to meet you where you're at, and you cannot lie to them because they understand energy. So whatever we're carrying with us, we can tell the world, oh yeah, I'm fine, I'm having a great day today. But if you really aren't, they're going to tell you that with their own body language, because if they're backing up from you when you go in, it's not just because of the way their sight is designed. Their vision is actually almost 360 degrees. Their blind spot is down their spine. But from here out to here, they actually have binocular vision. So if you see a horse start when you go to approach it from the front, it's because typically their eyes haven't had an opportunity to adjust yet. And so that's why sometimes you'll see them flinch. It's not because they're necessarily scared of you, although we are predators to them. Horses are prey animals that live in hypervigilant state of PTSD all the time. And so for that purpose, it's why they're the perfect partner to work with when you're working with people who have PTSD, especially injured responders who have a different language unto their own. And so that working without language, using body language and communication, those kinds of communication skills, it teaches so many things. It teaches trust, because it takes a lot of trust both for the horse and for the injured person or their family member to build up that bond with the horse, where they can have what's called join up, where the horse comes to you because they've earned that trust when you've done the work in the round pen with them. And being in the moment, it really forces you to actually have to be in the moment, because you can't work with such a large animal without being present. You can't be off in la la land. So it's a really amazing thing. And building confidence, we've had kids who have participated, you know, who are 8 and 9 years old in our workshop, which is the minimum age to be able to attend, for good reason, safety wise, especially being paramount. You know, but we've had even kids and adults, we've seen incredible confidences come through. You know, we had one veteran who participated who had a really bad experience with horses when they were younger, and they hadn't been around them except, you know, maybe pet them here and there or something like that if they were somewhere. They took part in our program and ended up going on to doing full-on equine therapy, and didn't think they'd ever have done that had they not taken our workshop. They said that was the contributing factor to them actually going on to equine therapy. So those are exactly why it fills our buckets. Is hearing those kinds of things.
What I notice for both of you is that you're facilitators.
Yes.
And you're not experts. You're no. with them, so that you don't have that mantle of feeling as though I have to have the answers. I have to carry mm-hmm. people. You're with them. You're always learning. And I think that yeah. just what you described is what fills you. So you get filled while you do the work. So it isn't exactly. that you are just emptying your bucket. You're actually, yeah. there's a flow of energy here through it. And I that's one of the models that I'm very, it really appeals to me, how you work with the people you serve.
That's a description of a peer model. Mm-hmm. It's really people with lived experiences, not people who are experts in their field, but people with lived experiences, sharing lived experiences with others. And it's becoming a more prescribed model, you know, for recovery and for PTSD and for mental health and addiction. In fact, we're trained through Peer Connect BC, and our peer facilitators that run our peer support are operated and trained under OSICAN, and which is supported by Canadian Mental Health Association. You know, so we really do have a model of which, you know, it is not professional, you know, in the capacity that we're run by experts, but it's professional in a model that's trained, is run by trained peers delivering a model of lived experience.
So I am very curious. You have found your path in life. You have found what you are meant to do. Is there some guideposts along the way that might be applicable for our listeners to help guide them to finding their path? Are there some experiences, defining moments along the way that you could identify?
There's definitely mile markers when it comes to, you know, essentially reinventing, you know, your purpose. And you know, we talk about reinvent purpose in a variety of different ways. People have traumas they experience of which it impacts their life. People retire, people go through divorce. People have a lot of life-changing experiences of which they need to re-identify themselves and really kind of dig deep and try to find purpose in what they do. Now, when you struggle with trauma, your world gets turned upside down and you need support and guidance. And so in order to be able to do that, you first need to be able to be vulnerable and ask for help and get professional support. So, you know, in my particular model, I had a psychologist that I trusted, had built a relationship of which you relied on their area of expertise to get you back on through the acute phase into living in wellness. And it really is a good description of kind of working through navigating through a path through a forest. That's why we called wayfinders, to help others navigate and find their way through the difficult times. But those mile markers are times, you know, that you need to rely on others and find mentorship and guidance in ways that get you through the most difficult times. When you hit those barriers and you can't do it on your own, you can't dig deep, you don't have the tools, you need to be able to develop the tools, and that's why we created Wayfinders. So it's an easy location for all the resources to be available in a deferral system, you know, in one location by people who understand navigating that. So really, you know, when people hit their barriers and their toughest times, that's when it's important to reach out to others that can guide them, provide mentorship, and allow them to bridge themselves to a healthier place. So, you know, one shouldn't be afraid to shy away from asking for support and help.
So what I've seen in that experience that both of you have shared is that you're reframing your ordeals in life instead yes. of pathologizing them and making them bad. What you're saying is this is a chapter in a larger story. And that what you're saying is to you begin to look at those actual, all what we call trauma, what we call hurt, what we call a damaging, quote unquote, damaging experience in your life is actually potentially through a healing process can emerge into helping you crack you open. Mm-hmm. So a wiser, kinder person can actually emerge from that experience. Am I hearing that correctly?
Absolutely. It's all about shifting the perspective and learning to find, I mean, there's so many things that go on when you're injured, you know, and a lot of it feels so negative for so long as you're going through, you know, those acute stages, and so many things become so much more challenging than you could have ever imagined that they could be. But when you start to reach a point where you can look back at it and start to pull out, you know, for where you've gotten to as you go through the journey and what those doors have opened and things you learn about yourself in that process, it's really, you start to realize it's about shifting the perspective. Yeah, you're still going to have your bad days or bad weeks sometimes, but it really does become about shifting perspective. And that's where, again, having support for everybody becomes important, and having your support group, your support family, or your community understand what you might need, because no one can guess, nobody can assume. Everybody has their own triggers. They all have their own level of injury. There, no two are exactly the same. And so you can't treat it like a prescription where you have to prescribe the same thing for everybody and hey, that's gonna stick and work. So it really is about learning about yourself, learning how to support yourself as well as accept support from others. So
yeah, I think there's a great lesson here, Haley, for you and your students, because your students have gone through some trauma. Your students in their young age have experienced some things that they're very hard on themselves and are in their own healing process. And you can provide such as shift their perspective, in Steph's words, to see them as this is actually going to be, at some point they'll be able to look back in their life and see this was actually a turning point for them to create a life with a new opportunity and new possibilities.
Well, and it's honestly like so beautiful to hear about like the importance of peers as well, right? Like somebody who's gone through it, to be able to offer that level of support in a way that, you know, nobody else can, you know, families connecting with other families and things like that. Like that's such an important tool. And I guess I was wondering too, like, you know, having heard from some family, like, and I know, you know, different kinds of trauma from first responders and different, you know, than the trauma that, you know, my students are impacted by and things like that. But I guess like, you know, how would you, and this is perhaps a very, very heavy, big question. I don't know if there's an easy answer for this at all. And I don't expect there to be, but I guess like, how do you help someone go from knowing that they need help, that they recognize that they're in this point where they don't know where else to turn, they know that they something needs to change, to take that first step to accessing that support? And I know you did mention like making it accessible and easy and things like that for them to make that first step. But what advice do you have, I guess, for anybody to make that first step from knowing that they need it to actually, you know, accessing that support?
Well, typically there's a variety of different things that you start to see when things start to break down. It's almost like there's a big wall that's in front of you, and trauma comes through like a bullet and permeates through that wall and creates little holes in that wall. That's typical for service. You know, you respond to a mass homicide, you respond to a child death or a sexual assault. There becomes holes in your barrier or your protection that start to come down. And then typically there's either a systemic issue that happens or a mass trauma that happens that brings down the wall. But there's a twofold thing there: either identifying it early, recognizing that the trauma is starting to have an impact on you through sleep, through mood, through diet. You know, you're not feeling hungry. You're not abnormal. The people around you are starting to recognize that your mood is off. Those are your first sorts of signs and symptoms. Or you know, you hit the wall in a significant way. That's typically the cycle in service. We think we're tougher than we are, and we think that we just need maybe a little bit of a break, that something is struggling, that we will be okay, and that we can just kind of bear down and get through it, but not acknowledge that really it is mental health, and that it is having a major impact, and it could have a serious impact on us. So when things do fall apart, people are in the acute phase, and typically they don't know what to do, but they're not capable of functioning at work. Now, this is where they require professional services. They need to be able to see a doctor or a psychologist or psychiatrist, where they're either going to do therapy, or they're going to, you know, be supported and bridged with drugs, or under under the psychiatrist's care, in order to bridge them back to a healthier place, of which they're in transition, you know. And that's where Wayfinders really steps in, where peer support gives you the tools to be able to navigate the things and shift your perspective in a healthier way, and for you to be able to control the shift in perspective, instead of for the injury to have control over you. So it really is, you know, there's two different ways. It's identifying it early, when those traumas start to have an impact on you and things start to break down the barrier, or when those mass traumas happen or the barriers come down and you've hit that wall significantly, you need to be able to reach out. Now, previously, you had to reach out through filling out paperwork and saying, I'm injured and I'm on WCB, or I'm no longer capable of working, and report that to your supervisors. That's typically the case when you're acute and you can't work anymore. But there's also ways to be able to reach out, and that's why we created Wayfinders, because people don't necessarily know if there's a variety of things that they can do in the early stages, and that's to be able to engage in the community and to seek medical help if they're fearing that they might be struggling with PTSD.
How can folks find you?
Well, the best way is we have a website. It's wayfinderswellness.ca. We have our schedule of workshops and information on Wayfinders there. And we also post a lot of information on Facebook. All of our workshops are also posted on Facebook for people to attend as well.
Yeah. And the other way that people can reach out to us is through email. So it's info@wayfinderswellness.ca. We often get questions, you know, sometimes it's from injured responders themselves. Sometimes it's from a spouse who's reaching out because, you know, they're struggling with their injured spouse, and they're looking for supports, not just for them, but also for themselves, because they don't know what to do, and no one's helped to educate them to understand what's going on with their injured spouse. You know, so they're struggling just as much. And then they're trying to look after the kids and all that kind of stuff too. And, you know, it becomes a lot for everybody. It's easy for couples, especially, to go through an overload state where it's like, oh my God, how do we manage this and stay on top of it? Because you just feel some days like it's hard to even stay on top of yourselves. And you have to be strong. You know, that's part of the training too for responders, is they're trained to be strong. They're trained to be tough. You know, my father was an RCMP member when I was growing up. My mom was one of the head records coordinators for the RCMP as well. There's Navy and military background in my family on the grandparents' side. And, you know, so it was a definite family of like toughen up, buttercup kind of thing, or, you know, tough love. But, and that's not a bad thing, but it's definitely something that you notice with time, as time moves forward, that's not an approach that's healthy anymore. You need to, as Paul said, acknowledge that you're struggling, because that acknowledgement is the first step in opening up the door to accepting that you're not okay and that it is okay.
And that's what we talk about. It's okay to not be okay, and others struggle. And there's a big level of acceptance and peace, knowing that you're not the only one that struggles in the same way.
Well, Haley, this directly, in some ways, is directly speaks to both of us, because your grandmother's first husband was killed in the Second World War, died in the Second World War. And so that trauma, came to my mother and came through her to you. So this is something I've had to work with in my life. And you've had to, you know, I know you've shared on here how you struggle with some of that anxiety, and And so any thoughts from you and hearing all
this?
Oh
yeah, no, just echoing too, like, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard that, you know, my sister is with Calgary Police. And I remember her saying, like, in her training, when she was doing a drill on school shootings, as part of her training cycle. And she just said, like, it just sort of hit her for the first time that, like, when everybody else is running away, they have to be the ones to go in. And so that means that there's no room for emotions at that moment. There's no room for flexibility. You have to be the strong protector. Right. Yes. And how, you know, she, you know, I mean, she's only been in the force for, you know, a short amount of time, but just saying to, like, how there's still so much work that needs to be done to change the mentality of that asking for help is okay, that asking for support is okay, that it's okay to talk about feelings, to be open about emotions. She's like, she does say that it is getting better, but it's just, you know, even just coming from that angle too, like, I'm just grateful that there are organizations like Wayfarers out, like Wayfinders out there, to be able to, you know, support and help change the stigma and help change the narrative and help, you know, help people who are trained to not ask for help.
This is a very unique program really is. I don't know any other program like this that has this kind of environment where we offer this. It's peer led. It's a very unique and special program. Is there anything we haven't asked you that you want to share, Paul or Steph?
I just wanted to add on that last piece that trauma has a lot of different forms. You know, it's one thing that I learned about, just because, you know, I attended a mass homicide and things were very, very obvious that, you know, if someone's going to be injured, they're going to be injured at something like this, you know. But the trauma, you know, can affect a lot of people through a lot of different ways. There's sanctuary trauma, there's the trauma we experience to the, you know, the very visual things that responders and military have to deal with. But we're just very understanding now that, like I said, it doesn't matter where the trauma comes from. It's important to acknowledge the trauma and to know that there are now tools and roadmaps to be able to identify a healthy way to recover and to have a less, you know, lessen the impact on the individual and their families. That's why Wayfinders is there. And I encourage everybody to reach out. We have a lot of good opportunities, you know, for people to be able to engage and find a healthy way to live in recovery.
If this calls to our listeners at all, please feel free to reach out to us. We are in the process, actually, of looking for some board members. So if you have some time to volunteer your time and have some expertise, but more importantly, if you want to be involved in a cause at the grassroots level of really making a difference and supporting people who make a difference, serving those who have served us, please feel free to reach out to us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having
us. Well, it was just a gift, let me tell you, to have you both here. I'm so glad that I had a chance to introduce you to Haley and that you met each other. We typically like to end these podcasts, these episodes, with a very simple question. And that is, what are you grateful for today? And what comes to mind? So, who would like to go first in answering that question? Haley, do you want to kick us off tonight?
Yeah, sure. I think I'm just grateful partly just because of, you know, just hearing, you know, all the stories, I think, from my sister and, you know, knowing people in the military, I guess, and, you know, knowing people who are first responders here in my life. Like, I'm just very, very grateful that Wayfinders is out there and that there are these supports and that as a society, we're changing our narrative and changing and expanding our scope to not just the clinical medical profession, but working with the clinical medical profession and holistic wellness to be able to, you know, heal the, not just the individual, but the whole family and community and work towards whatever works best for that person and embracing nature and all of these elements. Like, I find it very reassuring and hopeful that you guys are doing such amazing work out there. And so I'm just very grateful for that. You guys are that to be able to meet you guys and to be able to chat with you guys. And then that this level of support is available out there. So
that's great. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to share this platform and to have discussions on mental health and to bring awareness to something which is really important. Something I'm grateful for the opportunity to build a model for responders and military, which is working, which is transparent, which is can be shared with others in the general public so that they can also learn the tips and tricks and have the opportunity to live in wellness too.
And I was actually, it's funny you talk about that, because, you know, as Haley was talking about some of the experiences of her students, it really brought home how grateful I am that, you know, when Paul was founding this, it was done with the intention that it be a model that's transferable. Yes, we work specifically with injured first responders, military veterans and their families, but it is definitely an applicable model that would work with civilians, that would work with frontline workers, you know, a whole host at people struggling with addiction, you know, because those things all come with their own forms of trauma as well. And so the fact that it was created in such a way that can be translated across the board, it might need a tweak depending on the demographic, but it's really something that can work across the board, and it's, I'm very grateful for that.
Great. Well, I'm just grateful to be involved in this organization. I'm grateful to have this conversation tonight. I was raised with the value of service and making a difference, and you measure your life and define success in your life. I was raised with this value to work for a cause greater than yourself. So I'm very, very humbled and proud to be a part of this organization and just be supporting the work of two real professionals that are making such a difference in the world. So thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your story and your rich experience in this.
You're episode. Very welcome.
You're very welcome. And there's something, David, we talked about this actually in our meeting at the ranch. It was something that I shared with everyone. And I think it's a good thing for any of your listeners listening today to also think about this when you're going through life and you're struggling with things as well, and there's things causing you frustration, you know, especially if you are living with injury. You know, we sometimes feel those things a little bit more closely. But resentment is the byproduct of expectation. And I actually pulled this from the Facebook page of one of our partners that we work alongside, Legacy Place Society. Resentment is the byproduct of expectation. Expectations are cheap and passive, producing a feeling of righteousness when inevitably someone doesn't meet them. They are more about authority and control. Choose standards because they're actively chosen and stated. Standards are mutually respectful and openly discussed. Standards lift people, not passively push them down. And I think with the work that we do, it's so important for people to realize that this way of living is a standard for us. And that's what we're trying to share with those that come to us as well, looking for those resources.
That's beautiful, Steph. Thanks so much for sharing that. And you have raised the standard for all of us as we look at mental health, as we look at our own health, and as we look at our own lives. So thank you for raising the bar for us all. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
See you next time.